Gentlemen, we're going to carry on a little bit of Hilchos Shliach Tzibur. Some more interesting halachas. We're up to Siman Nun Gimel Tzifu Test. And we started yesterday the halacha. There's two very separate, very distinct topics in this seif. The first one was Yeshuanim Ger Milo Shliach Tzibur. The first halacha was that a ger, some said a ger shouldn't be chazen, but that opinion is pushed away, and really a ger is fine to be a chazen. Full stop. But we're going to carry on learning now the second part of the seif, which is following. You can say, I don't want him to be a chazen. A ploin, even an individual, has the right, has a mandate. Afilu yochid yochel akev loyma any roitze. I don't want sheployni. I don't want this fellow yechazen. I don't want him to be a chazen. Who is he to be my chazen? I don't want him to be representing me. Who is he? Who do you think he is? Unless im loy shekvahiskim olov mitchil. Unless he had an initial agreement, it was initially okay with it. He can't suddenly say, "Hey, no, I don't want him anymore." Then you can't. But if he has a real reason why he obviously, it can't just be random. If he has a real reason why I refuse that, he doesn't want him to be a chazan, he may share his opinion at the beginning, initially, a pre-factor as opposed to post-factor. That's only if he has a good reason to say so. So if he says, you know, I actually saw this fellow, you want him to be a chazan, I actually saw that his shop is open on Shabbos. Or I actually saw him driving around in his latest Lexus, on Shabbos, which was Yom Kippur, eating a sandwich, you know, maybe not a good right chazan. You know, so if he has a good tam hogun, if he's got a good reason for it, then it's fine. Of course, he can't say, as Brimo points out, he can't just say, no, you know, I just, the style of his glasses, and he's totally out of fashion. So if it's a non, he has to be a valid reason. If he's got a valid reason which he wants to put forward, he may do so. That's a very valid reason. It sure is. Yeah, I think that's a very valid reason. But the problem with that is that it's very much up to it's up for debate. Yes. Yeah. But I think that you're right. I think that if the voice is, I think that's because we said that as you're pointing out, there is a halacha that the voice has to be kolonoim, the voice has to be popular amongst the tzibur. Now the Rama says, he has to be something which he presents towards a toive ear. He has to be something which he can present and put forward towards a toive ear. But if he's unable to present it and put it forward to the toive ear, then he can't be moiche, he can't protest. Now what does that mean? What's this toive ear business? What is this? So the toive ear is what we call in good, what was the contemporary version of, what's the contemporary version of toive ear?
Committee.
It's the committee. So what you're meant to do, if you've got a valid argument, isn't that interesting? That tells us a bit of the policies of the, in the time, of previous years. So the policy was as follows, that if you've got, if you feel that this person, this individual is not a good chazan, what you do is that you go to the toive ear, you go to the committee, and you say, and you're going to say that, listen, I don't know if he's a good chazan, because, you know, I saw him doing X, Y, and Z. And the toive ear is then, what are the toive ear going to say, probably? Nowadays, what would they say? Today they would say, put it in writing, right? And email it to us. At complaints@shul.co.uk. The point is that you bring it forward to the toive ear, to the committee, and they're then going to discuss it if it's a valid point or not. So it is up to negotiation. What you don't do is you make a machlokes. What you don't do is that you go up to the person and say that, you know, I saw you doing this. What you do is, the policy is, you go up to the toive ear and you bring it forward to them, and they're going to see what has to be done. It may be or may not be a valid time, and it may be sufficient reason to remove him from his post. How can they remove it? The answer is, it can be. It is they have the right to remove the chazan. In fact, it's they have got much more rights than we sometimes imagine. He is appointed by the toive ear, and if the toive ear don't want, then it's. I know there's one kela which I was so impressed with. Just recently heard about this. that there's one particular kehillah in a certain shul in San Patil, I heard, they will always ask a chazan to however great he is, they're only going to ask him to take tefillah for 2 years. However great he is, the first year and the second year again, and afterwards they'll never ask him a third time again. Why? There's no chazaka. We may ask you in 5 years again. And then we may ask you for 2 years again running. But we're not going to ask you we're never going to ask a chazan 3 consecutive years to take the lead. I think it's such a brilliant rule that. It's so brilliant. Because once you've asked somebody first year everybody's excited, second year great, third year, after 5, 10, 15 years, who knows, maybe, and then you can't remove anymore. It gets very, very sticky. Yeah, that's easier then as well. It's easier. It's easier because if he's paid, then it's easier to remove as well. Yeah, it is a bit easier. Because then you can say, you know, for financial reasons, whatever, you can find a nusach, which is a bit easier. But if it's, I know the budget because of COVID has changed and, you know, and also the petrol is more expensive, so.
But if he's not a paid chazan?
If he's not a paid chazan, it's much more difficult because he's a chazoka.
Former Yerim Noraim, Ms. Pavel, and this show, most of them are left handed.
Former? Yeah.
Left town,
yeah, interesting, yeah.
Rabbi Jacobson's still with us.
Yeah, but.
Former Gabba of the Shul and former Miss Powell.
Former Gabba of the Shul?
Yeah, Rabbi Jacobson's Zachariah.
Oh, that's right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's true.
He survived.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is interesting that one has to be very careful, and it is a very, very difficult task to remove somebody after he's done a few consecutive years. To remove somebody, it's very, very difficult.
They always get
problems. Yeah, at the end of the day, people get offended. Yeah, humans are humans. You're right, of course. It's a very, very difficult. So therefore, I really like this approach in that shura. Isn't that an amazing idea? You never ask more than 2 consecutive years for chazan to take that. I think it's brilliant. So the shul I was referring to is a, but in the reality it's true always. But during the year it's not so sticky as during Yom Noraim.
No, it's
always,
I would say 1 or 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but the Toivio can remove, of course, a person because they are the ones who actually asked him to take Yomot. Now, Ve'imu continues the Ramah. Ve'imu soino. What if they hate him? I hate this person. I hate him. How can he take Yomot? Yochalim chos boy kodim shiskim alav. So if you've got a personal friction with a person, you can actually bring it forward. You say, dear committee, you want to appoint this person over here to take the Musaf. I want to share with you some news. I've fallen out with him 20 years ago. I fell out with him, and I don't want him to be a chazan. Is that a valid reason, yes or no? So you don't do it in public. You stick to the rules of Lashon Hara. If you've got lizard toeles, you don't do it in public. You do it without exaggeration. At certain times, if there's toeles and there's benefit, I don't want him to be leading the community because I've fallen out with him. He owes me 20K. He owes me 20K. I don't want him to take the armor. I'm sorry. He can't represent me. What? So the answer is: is it a valid point or not? The answer is it is a valid point. Provided that you're saying it before he's been appointed. Once he's been appointed for 5 years running, he's been dominating, and now you're waking up and you say, oh, actually, can you just remove him because I hate him? That's not good enough. Because this has to be something which you had to mention this before the event.
What if the sinner's
new? Yeah, then I suppose you can raise it now. You could raise it now, but you're right. Yeah, that would be a case that you could raise it now. The tension happened now, and that's something which have developed and emerged now. You can, but the point is that the fact that you fell out with somebody, that's a valid point that you can bring towards the Toivah.
Have we discussed what the halacha is if you're an Ashkenazi Kehillah and it's an Israeli or a Siddur, is there a problem? It's a person's parents.
No, we have not spoken about this. So I think the closest we have spoken about is the Aleph and the Ayin. That's right, yeah. So what point? Because the Poskim do speak about this in this siman. Shulchan Aruch Mishtabua, I don't think there's anything special, but I did see the Poskim speak about. Tell me specifically what you... Yeah, so what I did see, there is no explicit Shulchan Aruch about it. Yeah, that voice is very, very different. Rabbi, so what do you think about this? So let's say you end up...
It depends on the situation. If it's the iron aleph thing, you no one can have any times from that, because that's the proper way to pronounce the word according to all opinions. But if it's,
well, but if you don't normally pronounce the ayin, and you end up in his father's shul, would you pronounce the ayin because that's the correct way?
Yeah, you should do because there's nothing to be lost by pronouncing the ayin, because that's the problem.
It's just not, it's not your, it's not your minhag though.
It's not about the minhag, it should be our minhag.
Right.
You can't do it.
Right. So I what you're saying is very much
serious minhag bay with like an oil becoming an owl. That's a controversial one, the oil becoming an owl, because owl.
So if it happened by the yakas,
changes the meaning. Changes the meaning of the word. The owl can change the meaning of the word.
No, because it's not. It's just it's a different way of pronouncing. Whether you say "oh, you're out," it's just the way of pronouncing.
No, he or who? He.
Yeah, that's yeah. So I'll tell you what the poskim say. What I saw in the poskim is that you should, if you're shliach tzibur in a certain place where there is an established minhag, then one should, because you are representing the tzibur, you are shliach tzibur, you are messenger, you are shliach of the tzibur. It's only right that you do it in their minhag. The question goes so far, what I did see is that the poets can speak about, what about, it goes so far that even in the quiet Shemana Esri, which Nusach Yishu Daven. So say, you daven in a Chesidcha Minyan, and you are going to be davening, you're going to be davening for the Omot, and you're going to be davening, so it goes without, so the poets can say, goes without saying that the Chazos HaShatz, you've got to say Nusach Sfat, to wait the Nusach. But the question goes so far that even what about you fill up your quiet Shemana Esrei? Do you have to do the quiet Shemana Esrei in your own personal minhag? Is that in your nosach, or do you do it in the way that that's how far the question goes? But you're talking about the havara,
not the
nosach. You're going about the havara, yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. The poskim say one should. In line, I saw that they say that if you are able to do it and you feel that you're not going to be meshabash, your expression, you're not going to make mistakes, then you should do the expression they do. I don't. Yeah. The only Shlomo Zalman says that. Shlomo Zalman says that we should do the nusach there. What he does point out is that that if you go into a if you go to a shul which davens a nusach which is not an existing nusach, it's not really mesorah, there's no mesorah for that, and that's a nusach which has got no real tradition, no real mesorah, then you don't have to do it the way. And he's referring to, yeah, he says the avo you should do, yeah. I know it's not done, but Shlomo Zalman says you should do that. You should do that if you can. If you're not going to be meshabesh, you're not going to make mistakes, you should do in Rome, do as the Romans.
Sometimes you find that the chassidim don't even do
that. What do they do? What do you mean?
And it depends who's davening.
Yeah. The chassidim davening in Ashkenazi. Yeah. They say that's the right way of doing it. I know it's quite difficult, because it's difficult to daven in, you know, a different kind of nusach, with different avo. It's quite difficult. Exactly. So if a person would therefore make mistakes, then one should know. He's talking about, the Shlomo Zalman says, if you're able to daven exactly like them, and you're not going to make mistakes, then you should do so. Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. I mean, what has happened to me is that I've been when I daven in a chesidish place, and they asked me to take the omud, I said, listen, I'm happy to take the omelet, but I will do it in my own havara, in my own. If you want me to do so, I'm okay with it, but you should just know that I'm going to be a shliach under my terms, not under your terms. Guess what they said. but then it's fine, because they can be moichel, but they could be moichel their thing. But if without that, then probably it's best to do it in the... I think that there is a consensus normally within... Yeah, it's a consensus within the tzibur.
I'm sure it's the gabbai.
I suppose he represents the keli, it's like the consensus of the shul, he can probably do that, he can be moichel on their behalf. But that's what they say. But there's no explicit halacha about this. So you're asking, what if you end up in a chesidish shul, do you have to doubt? We have to always like look at them in the mirror. What would happen if a chassid would daven in our place, where you normally daven? How comfortable would you feel with him taking omud in his style?
We probably wouldn't.
Yeah, and how do we feel about it? We say, you know, why don't you daven at home? Why don't you come over here? You know, so we should respect it the same way as well. Yeah.
With regard to the difference in halacha, or with regard to Moshe, I can't remember the other opinion about if a person came late. You said that we normally would just follow the short seder of the pillar.
Yeah.
The chassidim, they would do the
not from Habach Tzinoris and keep going.
So the kedusha of the yeah.
I don't think it's got to do with it. That's not necessarily connected.
No.
Nechayra not. Yeah. Nechayra, yeah. Okay, we carry on. The Ramah continues, goes off topic a little bit. The Ramah continues and says, Mishu soine le shatz. What if you hate a shliach tzibur? Lo yadre sefer teurek shekoyrat richocha. If you are a bal koyre, we're going now switching briefly for a moment about bal koyre. And the bal koyre, you're the bal koyre, and you read the richocha with all the curses. And it's inappropriate for you to suddenly say the Teichocha whilst the person who is being called for the Aliyah is your enemy. You know the guy that you owe 20K? That he owes you 20K? So he's coming now, and you're saying one curse after the other. You know, he should not have this and not that. And he happens to be the one that he owes you the money. So perhaps not. Perhaps not. Perhaps try to navigate through it that somebody else should get the Aliyah as opposed to him. So either, you know, what? That's right. Yeah, now the minhag is an isolated. We see, interesting, by the way, we see that it's a more recent minhag. The more wasn't. Yeah, so we... Yeah. So a person should ensure not to read the Teichachas to the person who is once soiner. Of course, the Mishnah Berurah finishes off saying that the best way to do things. I'm going to read out the words of the Mishnah Berurah, which I think is very nice. In Sifkot Nun Zayin, aber im Nase shoyn leshatz achshis kimolav suen ayochid ochalim chois. If you start the tension developed after he's appointed the chazan, you can't now make a fuss about it. It's too late. Elo ashatz mchuiv loyim beferish shiasir akinam eliboy. What the shliach tzibur is meant to do is that he's meant to should remove the hatred from his heart. V'yitzein b'tfilosan ishu. V'agam im echavon shelo liyatzi asoyne gam oyevim lo yetzu. He said that in terms of the Baal Tefillah, he has to make sure that he's moitzi everybody, doesn't hate anybody. V'tzirichim ha'chazan, alkein, tzirichim ha'chazanim lizoe b'zeh. Chazanim have to be careful that they like everybody and they want to be moitzi everybody and nobody hates them. Kosev v'dakim moishi b'shem moiz ruwa. Ein ha'shatz tzorich lehachnif letzibu b'mila d'shmaye. The shliach tzibur doesn't have to what's the word to the chanifa? He shouldn't flatter people. That's also wrong. He wants to be popular. No. Don't start flattering people that people like you. That's also wrong. That's a wrong approach as well. Ach ben yone atzmoi, but in terms of his own avoda, yira lehavir al midoisa v'chshliach tzibur should be b'mayvir al midoisa v'shwork on his own midas v'yov lehakal k'de lekamei. He should be popular amongst the tzibur without flattering them, without trying to impress his ministers. Just be normal and be popular and everything will be all right. And that's the right approach and the right attitude in terms of the chazan. And people in the community also, they should make sure not to get too worked up about it. Not to be too worked up about it. And they should try to be on good terms. I've always said, summer's on it this evening. We learned that a ge'er can be a chazan, despite the minority opinion who hold they can't. We learned that the yochid, an individual, has got, he can have an opinion about the chazan, and he can actually, what is the right thing to do if he has got a problem with the chazan? He brings to the committee, brings to the Tovei Ha'ir, and he should present his problems with it, and they'll discuss and they'll make a decision as to whether it's a valid or invalid point. Also in terms of hatred, if it's a pre-existing hatred before he was appointed, so he can, at this point, before the appointment actually takes place, he can bring forward this problem. However, post factum, after he's been appointed and he's been bringing chazan for 5 years, 10 years, and now he says, you know, actually I stepped on my toe 25 years ago, it's too late now, you can't start bringing old machloikas forward. We also said that somebody who's a soiner, he cannot bring say the techocha. That would be a little bit, it wouldn't be nice that he reads the entire techocha to somebody who's a soiner. We also said that ideally a person should work on his middos. Isn't that amazing? A person should work on his middos and find that the chazan is good and the tibur is good and everybody's happy and be a bit less judgmental. It's always healthy to be a little bit less judgmental. Yeah, very good. I saw today a story, Rabbi Yisrael. I want to finish off with that. It's a true event, apparently. I saw that he brings it from the Mount Meisa. There was a Yid that went to the airport and went to the airport in Eretz Yisrael in Tel Aviv, in the airport in Ben Gurion, and he sees that there's a long queue and everything. You know the Matziv in the airport, and it was a long queue and everything. He sees there's a lady in a state, in Mamash, in a terrible state. And he said, "Can I help you?" And what's the story? The lady was his man. She wants to go to Levaya of her own mother or something like that. And she was mamish in a state. And she was trying to get onto a flight, but she can't make it. And she'll be bumped off the flight. And she's in a state. She wants to go to Levaya. She's completely his man. So this is Yid who witnesses this. He says, "You know, what's the problem? Is there any way you can get?" He had his first class ticket, but I cost $4,500 and I can't afford it. He says, $4,500 to go onto the flight. He says, "Yeah." So listen here. If you want to go to Levaya, you know, fine. I'll give you the credit card. Go and pay back to me whenever. Pay me back whenever you can." He never met this lady before. He gave the credit card. The credit card went through. $4,500, and she went on the and she went to the flight to Levaya. And she said, "I'll pay you back." She said, "Ah, I pay back." She never paid me back. I don't know who she is. She doesn't know. Levaya says she paid back, but it's incredible. It's unbelievable. He really just like a person he's never met before, never seen it before. He never suspected it. $4,500 for it. It's incredible. It's good to be a bit less judgmental.